Good morning.
Morning.
Praise God, we are here again in the house of the Lord. Kindly open our Bible in the book of Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in a green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. Thou prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us now pray. Yes, Father God, in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We praise you, we magnify you, your name, for thou art our Lord and Savior. Let us now give thanks to God for all the things that He done unto us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, your loving kindness to your people. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins that your blood shed on the cross to have eternal life. Lord, we thank you, O God, for the wonderful morning to worship you as one accord to glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, for all the answered prayers, for the provision, for the healingness, deliverance, to come back again to you, to serve you. We thank you, Lord, for all the miracles, wonders that you continually show to us to increase our faith, to continue to persevere, to do the task, and do it possible for your name's sake and for your glory. We thank you, O God, for the new strength to glorify you, to fulfill your will in this day, for the raiment, food, dwelling place, for the good weather, Lord, the joy and peace we have in our life. Thank you, O God. Hallelujah. Let us now confess our and renounce our sins to God, as the Lord said in His word. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we humble down before you in your presence. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, O God, and sanctify us once again by your blood. Lord Jesus, help us, O God, not to do it again, O Lord, of all our trespasses unto you, and amend our ways to your will and plan in our lives. Rule over us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our family, for the husband, wives, children, for our parents and siblings. Lord, we thank you for all the family of your church, that they continue to persevere in gratefulness and serving unto you. We pray for the good health, strength to provide their needs. Protect them, O God, and always be a good example to others how to walk and live according to your word. By everyday living, O God, as a way of preaching to others to know you, O God, and to follow you, Lord. We pray for every husband, O God, bless them, give them strength, anoint them, O God, of the Holy Spirit to lead this family and present them in your presence, perfect and holy. Lord, give them good health and jobs to continue to provide his family, to stand firm, to implement of your word to his family. We pray, O God, for perseverance for the wives to submit to their husband in everything, in every way, for your name's sake. Give them, Lord, a humble spirit to obey their husband, to execute the rules and precepts of yours to their children, that she and her husband has one mind to discipline their children in the way of yours. For the children, Lord, we pray for their wisdom and knowledge to their study. Give them, Lord, put their hearts, the fear of yours and faith, and let them encounter you in their lives. We pray that you always protect them, lead them in the way of righteousness and holiness. Let them, Lord, to fear you, their parents, the authorities, not to rebel, but to humble down and willing to train and go along the plan of yours and their lives. We pray also, O God, for our siblings, for their salvation. Let them know that the word of yours be proved to them that you are a true God and faithful God. We pray also for our every single parents, Lord, to continue to persevere and living in the way of yours and plans to us, to teach our children the ways of yours, and willingly, Lord, to continue to serve you wholeheartedly. And as we abide you, O God, bless us and provide our needs and move our children to have a godly families that you want and plan to your people in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our personal petitions to God. Let us now pray for our job. Lord, we thank you for the jobs that you give to us. Thank you for these jobs to sustain us in our everyday living. By using this as a vessel of your blessings to us, Lord, we pray to continue to bless our company. We lift up unto your hands our company to have more projects and clients. Bless the work of our hands, O God. We pray that we are be a good example to others, to the people around us in our workplaces, how to live and work diligently to work, not to murmur, O God, being you are our master. Lord, we pray for our superiors to know you and receive the salvation that comes from you, O God. We pray for the brethren doesn't have job, Lord, provide for them, O God. Lead to them the job that you prepared for them. Help us, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. Lord, we pray to provide the needs of them, sustain them, O God. Answer their prayer according to your will and plan to them. Protect them, O God, to help them, for you are only one can do all these things possible in the life of your people. Hear our prayers, O God. Let us now pray for our neighbors, for our colleagues, relatives, and friends. Lord, we pray for all the people that you place upon us. We pray for their salvation. Lord, we pray to prove your word to them. Give us more love to teach them and be a good example how to live and show to them that you are a living God that we are worshiping. We give us wisdom, Lord, how to advise them, rebuke them, that they will come out from their bandages of sins. Help us, O Lord God. Let us now pray for this country UAE, the extension of the church in Oman, in Kuwait, Iraq, Pakistan, India, Philippines, Sri Lanka, Armenia, Sierra Leone, Malawi. Pray for the favor of God that we will provide it for all the logistic needs, offices, and the communication needed. Lord, we pray for this country, O God. Bless and flow the peace as we are your people here to continue to abide in you. We pray for the authority to implement the just and right to the people. We pray for their salvation, Lord. Let them come out from their false religion and know and accept that you are a true God, Lord Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by you, Lord. Reveal yourself to them, O God. Open their hearts and mind to the truth of your word. We commit once again our life, Lord, to obey the rules and ordinance of this country, Lord, as you place them over us, that as we abide in them, we also abide in you, O God. We pray for the protections of your church in every country, Lord, to continue to preach your gospel. Give wisdom to them, to your church, to speak boldly the truth of your word. We pray to provide the needs and anoint to do whatever you ask them to do, to feed the flocks under their care and minister all the people. We pray also for the country of Israel that the war will cease immediately, Lord. We pray for the salvation of the people there. We pray that what's happening now on the earth, let the people will turn back to you and repent and humble down and come back to serve you. Let the people will kneel down in your presence as the fulfillment of your word. Move, O God, for your name will glorified and exalted in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for the church to grow in all the ministers of the church, evangelism, more Bible study groups, and more congregation to be planted, more people got water baptized, and more filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the expansion of your church and flourish to reach new people, new villages, new nations, new buildings, to know the truth of your word. We pray, O God, for anointing of the Holy Spirit upon all your servants to diligently preach your gospel. We pray for their strength, protections, good health to go on in their mission and task. Provide their needs, O God. Fulfill the vision of your church, multiplication and peace in implementing the whole will of God. We pray for more Bible studies, O God, to be planted and bring more people to serve you and willingly to suffer for your name's sake, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our service today, Lord. We pray, anoint our service. Bless, O God, every items of our service, the prayer, the giving, the songs that we sang unto you to praise you, Lord, the word of yours to hear this day, O God. Lord, bless us, be with us, O God. Let your name will glorify in our midst. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Stand here
Your will be done in our lives, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now collect our tithes, offering, and first fruit to God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that they may be food in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your wine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes, O Lord God, we thank you. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessing you give unto us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fulfillment of your word. Lord, we pray for this tithes and offering. Use this money, O God, for the expansion of your kingdom. Continue to bless my brethren, continue to abide to your words and their life. Rebuke the devourer and their lives, O God. Lord, thank you, O God. This is all we ask, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I am reading from the preaching of Dr. Ramesh entitled, Are You Doing God's Will? Part 5. Are You Doing God's Will? Part 5. Let us open our Bible in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 25. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed in that of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you, who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God on the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he treated not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd of bishop of your souls. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word that we've read, Lord. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and loving kindness to each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide and protect us, O Lord God, and help us as we, Lord God, listen to your word today, O Lord God. Give us wisdom and knowledge, O Lord God, to understand your word today, O Lord. Lord, bless each one of us, O Lord God, and bless my lips, Lord, as I read your message today, O Lord God. Be with us, O Lord, and let your Holy Spirit be manifest within us, O Lord God, in our life and in our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the midst of the scripture that Peter wrote, we can read the following in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Peter mentioned that according to the will of God, we are requested to be well doing certain things in our lives, in order that we will have our communications done well and effectively in the world. Therefore, let us start reading and meditating from the beginning of this chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. God wants us to lay aside and to get rid of the following bad things that will have negative things in our lives. malice, ill will, a desire to endure, an inclination toward depravity, guile, craftiness, and deceit, hypocrisies, like a stage player who hide himself under a false appearance, all evil speaking, all the unwholesome talk, lies, slanders, and accusation. All what we had learned from the world of bad things, we need to confess its futility and we need to throw away. In verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We need to start to feed ourselves with the word of God. The word of God will make us grow into holy and godly life. The word of God will make us grow into the right direction that God wants us to be in. As newborn babes, they frequently suck the milk from their mothers, and if the mother is away, they will start to cry. We too need to continue to read the Bible to grow spiritually with the pure milk that will make us grow, immune from the evil work and ready for doing the good work of God. In verse 3, so if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we should be the more eager to go on this way of life and to adopt such new style of living, because we had tasted that the Lord is good and he had done great miracles to us. The more grace we receive from God, then the more we are motivated to move forward, to live in holiness and godliness, renouncing all the ungodly practices. In verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed in it of men, but chosen of God and precious. As the Lord is gracious, then we need to be drawing near to him. Peter called the Lord here a living stone because he started here to use the allegory of the house to compare it with the church. As living stones are used to build the house, so man, a living stone, is used to build up God's church. In likewise manner, Peter was first called by God to be a rock upon whom Christ will build up his church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed in the of men, but chosen of God and precious. Christ is disallowed and rejected in this world, but he is chosen and is precious to God. In the same way, when we come to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we will be also exposed to rejection, isolation, and to persecution, and we need to bear that all in order for us to do well. In verse 5, ye also, as lively stone, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Peter here announced that we who believe and draw near to Christ, we are lively stones. And these stones, when coming together, will build up a spiritual house, and that is God's church. Apostle Peter announced that every lively stone is a holy priesthood commissioned by God to offer their lives to serve the Lord in leading others and their families to bring them to Christ. In verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In starting a building, they usually, after they dig the foundation, they will start to lay down the stone. The first stone is the chief cornerstone that the other stone will come and put over it and around it. The chief cornerstone, it has a special shape and proportions that the next stones need to be arranged to fit itself on the chief cornerstone. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Christ is elected as chief cornerstone in building his church, and he is precious because without him, nothing can be started or done. We therefore, as a spiritual stone, we understand from such arrangement that we need to be changed and make ourselves fit and to be conformed to the pattern that Christ gave us to follow in order to be fitted with Christ, our chief cornerstone. Christ has a good plan for each and every one of us, and we need to trust that arrangement that Christ has for each and every one of us, knowing that as we obey what he planned for us and command us, then we will not be put to shame. In the building, the temple of God in Jerusalem, the stone that they used to build the temple was prepared in a separate place and brought ready to be put in the temple of God, as we read in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. So at the final site of construction, there was no sound heard in fixing the stones or to rearrange them. But in the site of preparation, they were cut and chiseled out using chisels and hammers to be shaped appropriately according to the given design. This the same for us now. In this world, we are at the site of the preparation. The Lord is preparing us. The Holy Spirit is leading us and equipping us. The church is teaching us and correcting us. We might have struggles, admonish, rebuke, and even discipline. Our voice might be raised up, and misunderstanding may disturb our peace for a certain time. But certainly, we are reshaped, transform, and move forward from glory to glory, filled with the Holy Spirit, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, that when Christ will come, we will be taken up into the sky, meeting the Lord in the cloud. The church today is the site of preparation, preparing God's children for his coming, to be made ready before it was brought thither into the holy Jerusalem that would be coming down from heaven, prepared for us, as we read in Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 to 11. Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 to 11. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper, clear as crystal. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. As all these spiritual facts as clear to us than Christ and His Word, and commands are precious. He is indispensable and we are undone without Him. He is precious to us and without Him we are in chaos and disorder. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. To those who disobey Christ and reject Him, and will try to go away from living in His will, Christ will be for them made the head of the corner. Even they don't like Him, they will be obeying Him by force. In verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. For those who are disobedient, Christ will be for them a painful experience and a rock of offense, and they will comply to His commands and word not by delight, but by force. That is why you found in the church people who smoothly obey the instruction and comply with God, Christ's word, and the other people, you found them adamant and not willing to give up their stand and comply with God's word, they stumble and fall, regressing backward, being disobedient to Christ. You can see them with your eyes, but they are far from God and His blessings due to their disobedience. In verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Apostle Peter had confidence in the members of God's church that he is writing. Those who read and follow the word of God that is sent to them, they will be changed, but ye are a chosen generation. God had purpose in choosing us, is that in obeying Him, we are becoming a royal priesthood, holy in living, and to lead others to live in holiness, to become and to be part of a holy nation. Christ, as He chose us and we receive Him and become to us precious, then we are peculiar people and unusual with others and unusual with our characters and abilities. But to the people of this world, we are odd, strange, and abnormal. But that is what is needed to be manifested and revealed so that we can declare Him. We can declare His work in us in praises, in delight, and in adoration. The one who called us from darkness into His marvelous light. We don't get intimidated of what the people speak about us after we came to Christ and their opinion of us, because we know very well where we had been and we know where Christ had brought us. In verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Before being integrated in Christ and placed in His church, we were not people. Our lives were without meaning and of no hope. But now we have hope. We can see clearly the future and what God had prepared for us. In coming to Christ, our sins forgiven, and we had shown mercy and given the chance to experience the new life. In verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Therefore, as we receive mercy and become a chosen people of God, therefore, Apostle Peter is beseeching us. We need to understand that we are just pilgrims in the world. The earth is not our country. Our place is in heaven, and our day will be there. Therefore, we behave as strangers. Strangers, they don't delight in the new place they are living. They always remember home. They will always want to go back. Our home is in heaven, and we delight to go back there, yearning to the moment that Christ will come and transform our lowly bodies to heavenly one. As a manifestation of our heavenly citizenship, we don't delight in earthly sinful actions and deeds. Therefore, we abstain and totally cut all fleshly lust. The fleshly lust is against the soul. The soul will remain alive after death. The righteous soul will be with God, but if the soul is wicked, then will be in hell after death. The fleshly lust will always push the soul to sin and put him in danger of hell. Therefore, we need to give no heed for the fleshly lust so that we will always be at peace with God and in line with his word and command. In verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Rejecting the fleshly lust will not only protect our souls, but also will express honest communication with the people around us, especially toward the non-believers. The people, as earlier described, they may misunderstand us and name us adversely of who we are. They might even see us as harmful people and bad toward them. But the time will come when God shall judge us, when he will judge the world, when they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The day of visitation is not the second coming of Christ. But every now and then, and after a period of time, God will judge and bring justice in revealing the truth to the people by paying the wicked for his wickedness and rewarding the righteous for his righteousness. When God will do that, those who mistreated us, they will realize that we were right and what we were doing was good, and it was intended good for them. That might happen after years, and even it might happen when we are no more existing in the world. When we are in heaven, God will do that to reinstate the people into the right path and to vindicate and to prove our authenticity toward the people. Therefore, we need to persevere in our stand and loyalty toward Christ, being royal priesthood, living in holiness, bearing all the accusation and the injustice, trusting the one who will visit and will judge, and people would become aware of the truth when that will take place. People will be able to see our lives and action that they witnessed before is the proper example for them to repent, to follow Christ, and to live in his will. In verse 13, 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. The call of Apostle Peter to the church to live as strangers and pilgrims is evident here in his instruction to the believers to be in submission to the authorities, to the king as higher authorities, or to the governors who are under the king. As we also can read in the next verse, these authorities are composed of non-believers people, and when the believers will show respect and submission to these authorities, then they will give a good idea about who is Christ and how he teaches his people to be respectful to rules and authorities. The testimony of Christ will be better portrayed when the believers show respect to the rules and keep the system and abide with the rules of the government. The rules of the government may include tax and other payments for governmental services. Therefore, we are obliged to do well in abiding with all that in order for us to fulfill God's will. In verse 14, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. The rule of the government are directed to punish those who are doing evil and to reward those who do good. Therefore, for us to do good and to be spared the punishment and the penalties of the government upon their subjects, we need to abide with all the rules and the regulations of the government. Initially, the Jews were having God's kingdom on earth. But since they disobeyed and started to worship idols and brought them to God's temple, the Lord sent them enemies. The fieriest of them was the Babylonian, who conquered them and brought them to exile in Babylon. And from that day, the Jews lost their kingdom and became subject to other nations. Even after exile, when they returned to their land, they were under the subjection of other governments. That situation was imposed on them. Therefore, submission to the non-believers' authorities and accepting to abide with the rules is submission to the discipline of God and what He ordained as consequences to their sins. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonian, when he made a covenant with King Zedekiah that he need to be subject to King Nebuchadnezzar, the scripture tell us the following about King Zedekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verses 11 to 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verses 11 to 13. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonian, made King Zedekiah swear by the name of our Lord, of our God, to be subject to King Nebuchadnezzar. But later on, rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, and God considered that action as rebelliousness against God, who placed King Nebuchadnezzar against him as a discipline for him in order to bear the consequences of his sin. When the people of God did not abide with the principle of God's word and abuse his grace, God would hand them over to the non-believers to rule over them. It is a fair punishment. They did not know how to fear God and respect him. Then God put them under the non-believers to rule over them. Therefore, they needed to fear the authorities to be spared punishment. Otherwise, they will be dealt with harshly if they will abuse the authorities. The non-believers' authorities that God had placed his people under their care, the other purpose then is to protect his people. Therefore, authorities of the governments are protection to the subject and terror to those who rebel. The same for us today as Christians. Our kingdom is not on earth. Therefore, while we are living on earth, we need to submit to the government authorities that God had set on us as consequences of our sins in abusing his grace. When Christians nowadays behave as non-believers, then to be put them under the mercy of non-believer government is a fair deal. The prophet Jeremiah kept on admonishing them to go and surrender and submit to the authorities of the Babylonians. Prophet Ezekiel admonished God's people who were in exile in Babylon with the same thing. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem and Ezekiel was in Babylon. They were not in communication, but both of them wrote the same thing to the people of God to submit to the authorities. In the New Testament, the writing of Peter is directing the church to submit to authorities. The writing of Apostle Paul also has the same prospect to submit to authorities. Both of them were not in direct communication, but the Holy Spirit inspired them with the same thing. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of what of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath unto him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must need the subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Therefore, the government of the non-believers is the will of God for us today, and we need to persevere and behave till he come and take us to heaven. Even Christ crucified by the Roman soldiers in submission to God's will, therefore revealing against the non-believers' government